The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Sean Quinn, John Budden and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have a good card at Sandown which features the Grade 1 Tollworth Hurdle. There's also Newcastle and Wincanton over jumps and all weather racing on the poly track at Lingfield. So do tune in for all of that. A good Saturday of racing coming up. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. We'll look ahead to Saturday in just a moment, but let's just take a quick reflection on New Year's Day's action. And got to see good old Rock on Ruby back in front at Cheltenham, and he took care of Vanater in quite nice fashion.
Did it nicely, and certainly stepping up from 2 mile, where he was always a little bit outpaced after he obviously won the champion hurdle. He's 10 years old now. I think he's made the right decisions to step up in trip, and 2.5 suits him perfectly. And Vanater not really living up to the number one Henderson champion hurdle horse at the moment. No real excuse. I know they probably think he'd be better on better ground, but just beat by a better horse. And obviously, Rook and Ruby is very useful. But the fact that he gave him £8 and a 2.5 length beating was a real class performance. Obviously, next step is the world hurdle. I think Harry Fry is making the sensible decision not to bother running in a champion, because he just doesn't have that speed of those top 2 milers. Will he stay? There's no reason why he won't. I think he'd be ridden quietly. He's enjoying travelling in his races, rather than being pushed along early. Over 2.5 at Aintree, in the very top grade. Obviously ran the new one very, very close last year. So I think it's definitely the right decision. And in a race where nothing stands out for me in the World Hurdle at the moment, obviously Moravas had a wind up, I think, since that very disappointing return at Newbury. He's definitely well worth his chance. And good luck to Harry Fry, and keeping him hurdling is certainly the better option as well after that trucunded chase career last year.
Yeah. If he were to win the World Hurdle, it'd be a bit of history. He'd only be the third horse to ever win both the Champion Hurdle and the World Hurdle, taking after Claire Salil and Mary Deal.
Both horses that mean absolutely nothing to me. How long ago that was?
Yeah, it was a long time. 1946 and...
Even Lord Budden probably just about remember those, maybe. But a fair way to go. And to be fair, generally, most stick at 2 miles and that's all they do. Although, obviously, a few have won Supreme Novice Hurdle and gone back in trip. But like I say, Rock and Ruby certainly deserves his chance at 3 miles, and it's the best decision to go for, I think.
Yeah. If you were Charles, with his Cheltenham record being so good, it's hard not to go there. But would there be a case that you don't go to Cheltenham at all?
Well, you save him for Aintree.
Yeah.
I think there is a 4-week gap this year,
right, okay.
I think, between Cheltenham and Aintree. It's not great, but I think his rivals at Aintree are going to be going there as well. And like I said, I think it's all right. So he's going to keep him fresh now. So he's got, 2 and 2.5 months off the track.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be fine. He's 10 years old. He takes his racing quite well. Just because we don't know he's going to stay 3 miles, I don't think you can just rule it out. I think even maybe he's an 11-year-old. If he doesn't stay the 3 miles in the sea, look, we'll just keep him for the 2.5 at Aintree. But like I say, he's got to go. And I think in a race, which has no obvious candidate, he's certainly one to consider.
Never out of the first three at Cheltenham either, so you kind of got to go there, haven't you? I suppose. Petty Sieg was another impressive winner at Cheltenham. He now remains unbeaten after 3 attempts over fences, and he's a novice to follow, isn't he?
Definitely, and he obviously was a very useful hurdler. Something that's lacking now, really, as for British prospects. When he really got a new one, he was probably the second best, I suppose, over hurdles. Now gone chasing, and he certainly made a very, very impressive start to his career. Obviously beat Joss Hill at Ascot last time out, so understand him in Evans' favourite, readily brushed aside Champagne West. We didn't really learn anything new. He was always his even favourites. Top Toddy back in third, ran as well as she could be expected to. So all we know is that he can jump around Cheltenham. I think Paul Nicholls was keen to give him experience off Cheltenham before the festival. And like I say, I think he's the best British novice, but unfortunately, Willie Mullins will have quite a few options for these kind of races, and he's probably more to look out for the Irish horses. I think from the British ones, he's the best one we got.
Okay. And we must mention the exploits of Sean Bowen as well. He's never ridden a winner at Cheltenham until New Year's Day, and he rode a double.
As a cracking performance on Mon Parin for Paul Nicholls and Roland Mull, and he was also third or fourth, I think, on Roland Bull. So he had a very, very good day. Only young, 17 years old, but he had a lot of experience at pony racing and obviously was attached to his father now at Paul Nicholas' stable. So he's had plenty of experience since he was young. And rattling through that claim now onto £5, it's certainly probably for me the best conditional jockey around at the moment. I think he's great value for that five. And I'm sure Paul Nichols and his father will continue to exploit that.
Yeah, and Jamie Bargery, another conditional, had a pretty good day as well. He ended up taking over on Splash of Ginge, and that was a remarkable performance, really.
Yeah, cracking, right. He's basically in his second season now, and not just Tristan Davis, very, very loyal to his jockeys. Obviously, Ryan Hatch benefited from an injury to Jamie Moore to win on Black Lion to get his first graded victory. Fortunately, Ryan, I think he broke his collarbone on Little John in a race before, and instead of going for a more established jockey, Jamie's only had about six winners, I think, put on Splash of Ginge, obviously one of their best horses, and Jamie certainly rewarded the faith. And I'll say that's a real positive from a jockey's point of view, is that your trainer's got faith in you, because, like I say, there's probably a few big names sitting in the weighing room that Nigel Trisnales could easily have used, but he likes to keep it in-house. And certainly with Sam now at Paul Nicholls, he's certainly using his own jockeys to good effect.
Yeah, fair play. Anything else stand out to you?
I thought the another good horse for the Hobbs team, Wistful Dream, won nicely in the three-year bumper, running in the Diana Wheatley colours. Obviously, they've had a cracking year so far with Menorah and Co, but that's one of the young horses that looks pretty decent. And I'll say, it was a really good New Year's card. I think you had over 30,000 people at Cheltenham yesterday. So all the Cheltenham meetings seem to be improving all the time. And like I say, it's great to get that big kind of crowd.
Okay, well, we'll leave that there and we'll move on to Saturday's action. We'll get James's selections at Sandown on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, we're going to look ahead to three races on Tolworth Hurdle Day at Sandown, starting in the 12:40, which is a listed mare's hurdle over 2.5 miles. We have six of them in the lineup, and some in-form runners here as well. And Aurore d'Estraval is a filly, mare that I really like. James, she's done well this season. AP McCoy booked to ride as well. She's probably going to go off favourite here, isn't she?
A short price favourite, yeah. And she's certainly the one to beat. And like you say, had a good season so far. Won a similar race at Wetherby in Mayor's company and ran an absolute cracker, set up to grade one. It was a weak grade one, but the fight in fifth, it was still a competitive race, and she gave Irvin a good run for his money, beating a length from three quarters, showing that she's probably the best British mare we got, and she's definitely going to be difficult to beat. But she has got to give £8 to Mischievous Millie, who on official handicap ratings is rated 140, £7 below the Quinn horse. So in fact, if it was a handicap, he would have her a length in front of Aurore d'Estraval. Unfortunately, she's not run for 329 days, so fitness could be an issue. But her last two starts was second to Glenn's Melody in listed races at Warwick. So I think this is actually the same event. I think it's probably transferred due to the weather, maybe. But she's was in good form, and you've got to give her a bit of a squeak. I think the market will tell us how fit she is, and if KP's at Sandown tomorrow, listeners will know a little bit more there. But she won't be far away, and she could be a little bit of value, Mischief Millie, against Aurore d'Estraval. But at the moment, with her lack in a run and Aurore d'Estraval in such good form, I think the John Quinn horse is going to be the one you've got to put your money on. But a good mare's racing prospect, with the best British ones in action, six runners. Kay Fleur won a nice handicap the other day for Henry Daly. She steps up to listed company. Dark Spirit's been in really good form for Evan Williams, winning five of her last six starts. And Remraction's run obviously won the final at Newbury last year. So all the best mares are there, but I think Aurore d'Estraval will probably confirm that she's the best one we've got, and she'll be likely to be going to the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham in March.
Aurore d'Estraval then in the 12:40 at Sandown. The 150 is next. This is a Class 2 handicap chase over 2 miles. We have eight of them in the lineup here. Mr. Mole likely to be somewhere near the top of the market, James, but he's not always the most reliable, is he? He has won his last two now. Can he get up the hat-trick?
He's been one of those horses which has always had a little bit of a reputation, obviously one of the few that JP McManus has got at Paul Nicholls' stable, and he's never really hit it off, but he still won six races and 13 starts. I just worry when he goes in more competitive handicaps, big fields, it seems to fall apart. Obviously, he fell at Cheltenham last year when he was actually running an okay race. He was about seventh when he came down at the last. He probably may have gone on for a place. But in smaller fields, maybe he's got a little bit of confidence back. He obviously won a three-grand novice chase at Newton Abbot. He was 5-1 on, so it was just a little canter round for him. But to beat Brick Red, who reopposes again tomorrow, it was a good effort at Exeter in a graduation chase about 2-3 weeks ago. And this is only eight runners in this event. So although it is a competitive handicap chase, you shouldn't be getting too crowded. You shouldn't be getting too rushed. And it's probably the nicest handicap chase you could actually find for 30K. So I think he is definitely going to be difficult to beat. Desert Cry at the top of the weights has been in good form, but it's coming back from a bit of a layoff. And Donna McCain's team still not in great form, only a 20% run into form at the moment, which is a little bit worrying for a yard of his size. Williams Wishes had a good sequence of wins, won 6 races in a row, come back from injury, good run in Tingle Creek last time out, back in handicap company. He's definitely dangerous. So I think Mr. Mole is the one to beat, but I'll probably take a chance on 10-year-old Williams Wishes, who's dropping back into handicap company after running such a good race in a Tingle Creek. He'll be the one for me.
Okay, Williams Wishes then in the 150 at Sandown. And the big race there is the 225. It's the Tolworth Hurdle, which is a Grade 1 novices hurdle over the extended 2 miles. We have 4 of them in the lineup here. Lammy Surgeon, Jolly's Cracked It, Shelford can't be ruled out either. I suppose the only one you can really rule out with any kind of confidence is The Lord Be With You. So how do you see it going?
Yeah, very interesting. Tolworth Hurdle, only three to consider. Zoe Davidson runner's not run for 600 days and realistically on form won't be anywhere, but three very decent individuals. Lamy Surge, very impressive winning the Jerry Fielden on his return. That was a good effort off a mark of 1.32. Backed out at a winning Grade 2 company at Ascot last time out, and for one of Nick Henson's, he's been kept reasonably busy out again 2 weeks later. A small field shouldn't pose a problem, and he's got by far the best form. But he does face two interesting rivals. Shelford, I thought he ran well in the Ladbroke at Ascot. I napped him on that occasion. I just think Harry Scott made a little bit too much pace, forcing out the pace over 2.5 miles. And he just needs a little bit more luck. Smaller field, I think, will help. He beat Orbison at Chepstow, which is really strong form. Obviously, Orbison's gone on to win the Grade 3. And then he ran a nice enough race in the long walk at Ascot. And I think he's better than the handicapper, but official ratings, he's got £10 to find. I think he'll get closer than that to Lammy Surge, but probably still be a little bit vulnerable. Jolly's Cracked It is obviously very interesting for Harry Fry and Noel Feely. Hasn't had much racing, but 5 starts and won his last 3 races. He looks like a lovely, big, strong type. 2 wins at Ascot this year, beating Clondor Banker and Jabril. Step up in grade for him, he certainly deserves it. Whether he's lacks the experience of Shelford and Lamy Surge if racing a bit more competitive company would be the question for me there. So ultimately, I think Nick Henson's probably win another Grade 1 with a Lamy Surge. I think only my Simon Minogue's had such a cracking time recently. But interesting racing prospects. Shame we've not got a few more runners, but 3 very decent novices taking part. And I think Henson also can win.
Okay. Lamy Surge then for James in the 225. Let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, I've gone for Aurora Desterau in the 1240. I think she's the best British filly, and she can confirm that. In the 150, Williams Wishes, I thought, ran a cracker in the Tingle Creek last time out. Back in the handicap company, he can regain a winning trail. And finally, in the Tolworth, I'm going to stick with Lamy Surge.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Thoughts of James Millman on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Sean Quinn, John Budden and Gary Capel will be our team in the studio. We have this card from Sandown, accompanied by jumping at Newcastle and Wincanton, and action on the all-weather poly track at Lingfield. So 4 meetings, plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.